Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Amen, amen. With that, we're going to get stuck into the Word. Why don't you open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 17 and through to 32 today. And being Father's Day, I felt the Lord continue this impression on my heart about where we are as a church and what He is wanting to do. Some of you have asked questions like, why are we doing such basic kind of teaching in identity and discipleship and what the church is and who the church is? It's because it's the Father's heart right now. That His people know who they are, what His house is called to, and how they can grow in becoming more like Him. And today we're going to continue on this theme of the Father's heart for His house. So let's read from Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 32. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they had sought to bring in and lay before him, Jesus. And when they could not find out how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up onto the housetop and they let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, 'Man, your sins are forgiven.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, 'Who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man, the power has power on earth to forgive sins.' And he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house.' And immediately he rose up before them, took on what he had been lying on, and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.' And after these things, he, Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax collector's office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' And so he left all and rose up and followed him. And then Levi gave him, Jesus, a great feast in his own house. And that there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And the scribes and the Pharisees saw this and they complained against the disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Some of you might be sitting there thinking, how does this tie in to anything that she has just said? Well, let me point out to you that in this passage, there are three houses that are made reference to. There are three houses. The first house is the house that Jesus is in, where the crowd is listening to his teachings. We see this in verse 17. It says that they were gathered together and Jesus was teaching. Along there were Pharisees and there were religious people from all of Judea, Jerusalem, and Samaria gathered together. But then the second house we see here is the house of the paralytic. House of the paralytic is mentioned here in verse 25. It says immediately that he rose up before them and he took what he'd been lying on and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. And then the third house is the house of Levi, the tax collector. Now Levi, the tax collector, says this in verse 29, "Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house." Ha! And there was so much a number of great tax collectors and sinners who sat down with them. And they were questioned, why do you eat and drink and sit with sinners and tax collectors? In this passage, I really feel like the Lord's heart is a picture of the house of God and the continuation of what the house was always intended to be. This passage indicates to us that a paralytic, a man who was in need of a miracle, came to church and found himself in the midst of such a vast crowd that he couldn't actually even get in to the service. It was four men who brought him and four men who had faith to believe that Jesus could do something phenomenal, could do something supernatural. You know what amazes me in this passage is that they're all gathered together, and it says in verse 17 that the power of the Lord was present to heal. And there was a crowd, and in the crowd, no one was getting healed. And I felt the Lord ask me this question, Sheree, do you come expecting me to do something great, or are you a part of the crowd that gets in the way of people meeting Jesus? And I sat in this tension as I was reading through this passage, asking myself this question. And then the Lord provoked me with this scripture from Psalm 69, verse 9, where it says, "Zeal for your house consumes me." And I was like, oh, Lord, zeal for your house so consumes me. I love the house of God. Does anyone here love the house of God? I love the house of God. I love getting together on the weekend to fellowship with you all and to worship with you all and to hear the word of God. And I was sitting in this tension of this passage of scripture and this concept of the zeal for God's house consumes me. In the New King James, it actually says it eats me up. And I started to feel the Father saying, Sheree, I have a burden for my house in this season. That she would not just be the westernized church that is driven by consumerism. Rather, it would be a church that is consumed by zeal for his house. Because the Western church has become such a consumeristic church. But you know, it's always been like that. Because this house was full of people, full of a crowd, no space for anyone else to get in who actually needed Jesus in that moment. And in this passage of scripture, I'm sitting with this wrestling idea about the house of God. You know that scripture from Psalm 69 is actually the reference that David had said in regards to his house. But did you know that in John chapter 2, that it is actually used by the disciples in reference to Jesus' moment in the temple? Read with me in John chapter 2. It'll be on the screen for you. And it's Jesus cleansing the temple, and He makes this statement. He said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away and do not make my Father's house a house for merchandise." And then his disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up," or "Zeal for your house has consumed me." See, the reason Jesus is frustrated by the business that's happening in the temple at this time is because the outer courts were the only place that unbelievers could come, our Gentiles could come and actually worship God. But the religious people, the people, the Jews, had set up places of sales of cumin and all these different spices to be able to sell and doves to sell. And Jesus walks through the temple and he's frustrated by the fact that they have turned the house of God into a place of consumerism. consumerism for the believer. And I felt the Lord begin to stir me. Where in my life have I come and treated the church like I'm coming to get something instead of coming to give? And he started to provoke me and stir me and say to me, this is not the place for consumerism, but this is the place that people who don't know Jesus can find Jesus. And he started to speak to me through these verses about the three different houses that take place and Jesus' ministry in this. He's not against the gathering of the saints. He actually loves it. He finds himself there in a house full to the roof of people teaching the word of God. Why? Because we need it. And that's his desire. His desire is that his house would be full of people. Full of people who need Jesus and full of people who love him. And we're compelled with this context of this passage of scripture of being made aware that there were those who were in the house of God just consuming. But there were four men who came and took another man in. And as they brought that man in, his whole life changes. God's heart is that our church would be a house full of people, full of faith, and full of those who don't know him. And friend, I don't know how you came here today or how you ended up in church, but you need to know this. The love of the Father is overshadowing you today. He loves you and his desire is that you would know him and experience him like the ultimate Father. It's his desire that we as a church would make space for those who are actually in need of a Savior, in need of healing. But you know what I love about these four men in this passage of scripture is that they're others orientated. They're others orientated. They're more concerned rather than trying to get into church for themselves and get their church seat in their front row and their dirt. They're like, no, we're just trying to get our friend in. Well, when was the last time we brought someone to church with us? I'm confronted by this myself. My heart was heavy in thinking about who have I brought into the house of God? Who have I brought into his house to experience his love, his power, his healing? Because the power of God was present to heal and only one got healed, but the house was full. I feel this burden that the church is not what we're called to go to, but the church is what we're called to be. The house that Jesus taught in brought about a change for a man and turned his whole world upside down. He went out praising and leaping and rejoicing. But you know what actually says that he went to his own home and glorifying God. There's a progressive step here. There's a nature of being in the house with Jesus where miracles are done and wondrous things are happening. But then there's this moment where it comes out and it goes out into the community. And this disciple now was a paralytic, becomes a disciple, becomes a follower of Jesus as a result of his life being changed and transformed. But what I love about this, the bigger picture, is that Jesus actually left the house of teaching. Check this verse out. It says here, now after these things, he, Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector. I believe that the house of God is a place in which we have his vision for his house, and that is that others would know him. We want a house full of people. We want a house full of faith. We want a house full of the power of God to be made manifest, to heal people. But we want a house filled with the purposes of God. Verse 31 says he did not come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. Jesus saw the spiritually sick. The religious people saw them as sinners who were condemned. Jesus knew them by name. The religious people knew them by their disease or by their sin. I honestly believe that God's heart and desire as stated in 2 Peter 3:9, is that his heart is that none should perish, but all would come to eternal life through him. And that only happens through a people who recognize that they are now the house of God. Do you recognize that we come together on Sundays? It's a place of gathering, it's a place of fellowship, it's a place of worship, it's a place of the Word of God, it's a place where prayer takes place, it's a place where we share the good news of the gospel. But the Bible says that you are now his dwelling place, which means you are a moving house. So when Jesus moves out of a house of teaching and goes into a community, that is a picture for you and I to live by, to live to look to and be engaging the world around us and asking ourselves this question. Do they know Jesus? Do they need Jesus right now? One of the most exciting things we're seeing happening right now in our church, funnily enough, is happening with a group of new converts. I love new converts. People get saved and something shifts and something changes and they are on it. A bit like this paralytic guy got up and began to testify and glorify God. These guys have been doing the same thing. We've talked about it a little bit, a couple of times here and there, but the gym church guys, right? I was watching through on the social media last night. I had contact with them before I left and was just touching base to see where they're at. And they gathered together again yesterday. They gathered together, for those who don't know, they gather together on a Saturday in the gym and they have what they call gym church. They do a workout together and then 30 or 40 men come together at the end of it and share the Word of God together, share in prayer with one another, share in encouragement with one another. It's wild. Right? But the church was always designed to leave the building. The church was always designed to leave the building. And I love what I'm seeing because I'm seeing it, the church embrace who she's meant to be. They don't come just to consume on a Sunday, but they go to be the church on Monday through Saturday. And I'm telling you, there are so many things happening in the lives of different people. I've got another young woman in our church who radically 18 months ago got saved. God's love encountered her. She was filled with his love to a degree that she walked away from a lifestyle of all darkness that you could possibly think of in the pursuit of Jesus. What was once an area of income for her, she's now working to provide means and ways for others to come out of this industry and into health and life and family. I'm telling you, there are things happening in our church, but church, we've got to make sure that we are aligned to his house and his heart for his house. And that is that the many would come together to make way for those who need Jesus to come in. That every seat in this house would be filled because you chose to think of one person in your world that needed Jesus. It's his heart and his desire that many would come to know him and walk with him. But not only this, the house of God would be a house that follows the pattern of Jesus. When Jesus went out, he went out and met a tax collector named Levi. And Levi had such an encounter that he threw a party at his own house, invited all his sinner friends, and invited Jesus to come into the midst of them. And in that moment, everybody encounters Jesus. See, Jesus loves the house. He loves to be here. Loves it when we worship him. Loves it as we gather together. But he's always looking to escape the four walls of the church and do something. But you know what's beautiful about this is that Levi opened his home. Imagine what it would look like, church, if we opened our homes to those who have questions about faith, those who are in our workplaces, in our schools, in our universities, and in those spaces, and we ran something like Alpha. We ran a discipleship group where we started to teach them about who Jesus is. Imagine what the world could look like if Jesus escaped the four walls of the church. See, church is not a building, but it's a people in whom God dwells in and through, and whom he works through. And what's required of us is that yes, we would be found in the house of God on Sunday. Yes, we'd be full of faith when it comes to our Sunday service. And yes, we'd be aware of his presence in the service. but that we'd actually bring others in to partake of that. That we would glorify God in our own worlds and we would open our homes as an extension of the ministry of Jesus to people in our worlds. That we would go and find sinners and that we'd represent Jesus to a world that desperately needs him. Friends, who's the paralytic in your world? Who's the paralytic in your life? And what could it look like if we stepped out of consumerism Christianity, where we make Sundays the pinnacle of our Christian faith? We come to church, we tick it off our list, and we go home. But actually, if we lived Monday through Saturday, taking Jesus to a world that desperately needs it. See, we don't have to crowd into a house to get to Jesus because Jesus is in us. We get to take him out and set up our house for someone else to come and meet Jesus like Levi did. I'm telling you, this is his heart. His desire for his church is that we would step out with him and be the church and many might find him. Who's the paralytic in your world and in your life? Paralytic might look like someone who has a physical need. They might have a spiritual need. Well, they probably had both because this guy did. He had the spiritual met and then the physical need met. But there's relational needs in your world. There's financial needs in your world. It's a whole range of different things that the Lord is looking to intersect somebody's life. And church, we have this beautiful privilege of partnering with Jesus as he does it in and through us. Who wants to be a part of seeing a world transformed and changed? Who wants the Levi experience where you invite all your sinner friends in and they meet Jesus? Who wants to be one who would bring in a paralytic and drag him in on a mat and bring him before the altar and they receive the touch from heaven and they're healed? Who wants to see it in your own life? Because I don't know about you, but as much as Jesus isn't about us becoming Christian junkies, coming to Sunday and getting our fix, he's actually about us coming in, getting filled up to go out, to pour out, and to come back, fill up, pour out, come back, fill up, pour out. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. But he's also looking to meet the needs in your life so that you can be one who can testify to the goodness of a good God. A God who loves you, a God who wants to move in and through you and have his way through your life for someone else's purpose. Friends, the house of God was meant to be a place where people would be full of faith, full of expectation, others-orientated, not self-orientated. A house that was full of the power of God, full of heaven, ready to open up, but a people who were also ready and aware of the presence of God and what he was doing, that it wouldn't just be left to the one or four that came in and brought a man in and he was healed, but that all of us would recognize that the power of God is present to heal. His house is a house, and not only the people of God gathering together, people of God leaning in faith and into the word and leaning into the power of God, but leaning into the purposes of God and the pattern that he set before us. Because when Jesus left that house, it was far greater than one man being saved and one man being healed. It turned into a whole community of now disciples that were an extension of the kingdom of God. And friend, that's what God wants to do in and through you. Imagine what it could look like, Jesus breaking out of your life, out of your house, Monday through Saturday. Whoo! Unstoppable. It's why the church still exists today, because a few get hold of the glimpse of what God has in his heart for his people and the desire that none would perish. And church, this is that house. This house is not equated on its seating capacity. This house is equated on its sending capacity. This house has always been a sending house and it will continue to be a sending house, sending people out into the community, sending people out into mission overseas. Pray for those who are over in Sri Lanka right now. Our team are there on the ground, got another week to go. Pray for them. But I'm telling you, the capacity of what is in this house is world-changing. Jesus changed the world with 12. Look around the room and imagine what he could do through you. Friend, it's the greatest invitation of the Father's heart today is that we would become a dwelling place in which he could flow out of. That's his heart. That's his heart. Whew. I had a call while I was overseas for some of you where I went away for a couple of week break, and I got a call from my friend. My friend, 12 months ago, I shared his story from this platform. My hairdresser and her husband, some of you will remember this, but there was a moment in the hair salon, the earth shook, but there was no registered earthquake and it wasn't felt anywhere else, but it was only felt in the house. He came running out of his shed with the work guys and she came running out of the salon and they're like, did you feel that? Do you remember that story? All right. Wild what God has done. Over the last year, I've been doing a journey with him every time I go back and just talking with him. And she rang me last week to tell me that her husband has been diagnosed with stage 4 bowel cancer that has gone to the liver. And she just said, we need a miracle. And I said, well, it's good. I believe in a God of miracles. This is just one story that I know of. But how many stories are you connected to where someone needs the house of miracles? Where someone needs the goodness of God, the love of God to transfer through them into a manifestation of healing. I don't know the people in your world, but I'm sure I'm not the only one sitting in this room dealing with friends and loved ones who need a God who is beyond our personal consumerism. It's not about how the worship made me feel. It's not about how many minutes the service went over. It's not about how many minutes the preacher banged on for. But it's about us coming together and realizing that what he has given to us was never meant to just stay inside of the four walls of the church. It was designed to go out. It was designed to go make disciples. It was designed to go and tell, to go and share, to go and show, and to go and demonstrate the power of this gospel that you and I come together to celebrate. This church will continue on into its many years to come. But my heart's desire is that it wouldn't just be a happy place for Christians, but that it would be a place for the broken, for the hurting, for the lost, and for those who need him to come and find him. And friend, I'm asking you right now, right across the room, if you're a follower of Jesus, would you pray this prayer and ask him to so shake you that you leave the house of teaching and become the house of Levi for many others? And that you would become like the four men who could not do anything but get their friend into the house of God. We don't know how much time we have on this earth. And for many of us, we know where we're going to spend it after we're finished on this earth. But for many out there in our worlds, they don't. And friend, I want to encourage you with this. The house of God is a place, his burden for his house, as a place where people could come and find him. But friend, you're an extension of that house because he dwells in you. Imagine what our world could look like. This Father's Day, his desire is that his church, filled with his people, filled with his love, would take it to a world and fulfill the mission that he gave to it. So I'm going to ask you to stand right across the room and we're going to pray. I could feel the weight of the Father's heart in the house today, even as I was preparing this. What good is it if we can gather and have tickle me Elmo moments, goosebumps up and down, and have presence of God moments, but it does nothing to change us or change the world that we live in? So God, I thank you for your heart today. I thank you, God, that it's your desire that all men would know you and not perish. And in some crazy way, you thought that it was a great idea to take each and every single one of us and use us to fulfill your mission. And God, today we look to you as our Father, but we also look to you as the one who is able to transform our hearts to becoming like you. And I'm praying, God, that you would shift us from a place of being people who would just gather together to hear the word, but following in Jesus' footsteps, going out and finding a Levi, a sinner, a tax collector, a heathen, somebody who needs you, Jesus. And that you would use us as an extension of your kingdom for the good news of the gospel to break out of the four walls of this church, into our city, into our community. That God, you would take our lives, our little lives, God, in the time and space of history, and God, you would use us to advance your kingdom across the earth. And God, I thank you that it's your desire to save all and that none would perish. And I'm asking God, would you put within us a renewed fire and a new desire to reach those who are far away from you? God, would you put in us a fire in us that would take us into the streets, into the cities, into the communities, into the workplaces, into the universities that we live and occupy? And God, would you allow our lives to be more than just consumerism Sundays on Christian happy hour, but God, you would take us into a place in our cities where we would be an extension of the glory of God, and that we would see many come to faith in Jesus, many healed, many restored. And God, would you turn our city upside down? Lord, we desire nothing more and nothing less than your heart this Father's Day. So Jesus, where my lack of words have the ability to communicate your heart today, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, would you drop on our hearts in such a way that, God, we would walk out never being content just to gather on Sundays from Sunday to Sunday and be, how are you? But God, we would be coming Sunday on Sunday with somebody, with something as a testimony to share of the goodness and the glory of God. And God, I'm asking that for each of us today, where we recognize the gaps in our own lives, God, would you help us to become more like you? Shape us and mold us. But Lord, may your church continue to abound from glory to glory as she continues to reach people far from you with this good news. Change us and make us into your image. And make us more like you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you left the 99 in that house of teaching to go to the one, Levi. And that as you did, not just Levi, but his whole community came to know you. God, do it again in us. Do it again in us, God. Do it again in us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.